Okay, see you.
Hello, hello, and thank you for joining Car from the Rock Ministries with Tim.
Enjoy.
Thank you for joining us. So today we're going to be in Mark chapter 8. Yes. Today there's a lot of Jesus talking in Mark chapter 8, so
yes,
we're going to concentrate
long.
On that.
We will not go completely through every single bit of it, but we will.
We're going to touch on it. Yeah, because there are, let's see, one, two, three, five different areas of, or six, I'm sorry, there's six different areas. Actually, there's seven different areas of teachings and preachings of Jesus. So we're going to open up with prayer, and we're going to get right into Mark chapter 8. And thank you again for joining Car from the Rock Ministries.
Okay. Well, God, we thank you so much for this opportunity, this time, to lift up your holy name. We give you all the glory. You are a good God. Help us, Lord. Help us to see your word and to see what it is you're trying to say to us in your word and through your word. Lord, open up our eyes, take the scales away from our eyes that we can see what it is you are trying to say to us. We need you, Lord. We need you more than we ever have. Every day I find that I need you more. God bless our families, friends, and loved ones. God, we thank you for this day. We put on the full armor of God, and we thank you for it. You have been a good God to us. We ask that you go into the world, be there for the people that are willing to accept you, Lord God. Help them through these holiday seasons. And we just ask that you bless them and keep them, Lord. Is there anything you want to add?
And just for our listeners, that you be with our listeners, whether they're listening, whether they're traveling, driving, that you be with them with your hedge of protection and your angels encamped around them. Keep everybody safe, Lord, and that they know you, Lord, and that they know your love and your compassion toward all of us.
Yes, and laborers. For the ones that don't, you know, because it's hard. We're still praying and we're talking, but, you know, it's hard for family to accept it from other believers sometimes. And we ask, you know, God, that you send laborers into those lives to make a difference, to say something, Lord, that can change people's hearts and minds and get them over to your side, get them into their everlasting glory in your kingdom.
Amen.
We just thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. So we're looking at Mark chapter 8 this evening, and it starts out with Jesus feeding 4,000. And we just read one of our previous podcasts here, that he fed 5,000. And it's interesting how they come to him, and he asks, you know, Jesus asked the disciples, how many loaves did they have? And they said, you know, the first time around was for 5,000, they had five loaves and two fish.
Yeah.
This time it's a little different. And we're going to start reading.
So in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitudes because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry, to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. His disciples answered him and saying, can one satisfy these people with bread here in this wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, seven. He told them to sit down and break it. I'm not going to read completely through every bit of it, but they had a few small fishes. They blessed it. And they ate. They were filled. They took up seven large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. He sent them away. Immediately got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmatia. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking for him a sign from heaven and testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit. Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation.
Let's stop right there for a second, because that's, you ask me, like when I go to work and I go, and I'm getting ready for work, and you're like, what is wrong? And I sigh very deeply, and it's because just the getting ready to go to work and venture out into the day, and of course, I'd rather just stay home and do Bible study all day long, but that's not possible at this point in time in our walk and our ministry. But when the Pharisees seek a sign, it just really stands out to me that sometimes people ask, like, why do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Why is he Lord of your life? Or how did you come to know Jesus? And it didn't take a sign. It didn't take a miracle. You know, it's just one of those things, you know that you're changed in your heart and you believe and receive and accept him as your Lord and Savior.
And for me, see, that was a sign and a miracle. I feel like when I got saved, I feel like, I actually realized God's got power.
Mm-hmm.
He's got power for right now, not this wish upon a star later on down the road and asking him for things, but he changed me right then that day. He delivered me, set me free, gave me laughter. He just changed my heart, my soul, my body, and my mind. So for me, that was the sign, actually realizing, wow, I'm different today.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to always live in the, well, you know, one day if God wants me to be free from this, or, you know, this to happen in my life, one day, because sometimes we have not, because we ask not, and we get things right this very minute. And that's why I was saying it just was a little different. Yeah.
And everybody's different with their walk and how they came to know Jesus. And you got to say, just right now, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, please, please, please accept him as your Lord and Savior. Yes. All you got to do is repent, ask him to come into your life, and believe and receive that he is the Lord God Almighty, that he walked this earth, and that he forgave us of our sins because he died on that cross for you and forgave you for your sins, for my sins, for everybody's sins, and that you are forgiven. And once you do that and believe and receive, accept him as your Lord and Savior, and believe that after 3 days he rose out of that grave and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, that's what's most important here, is that you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Take this word very, very personal. That's one thing when I did get saved and I started reading the Bible, I just tried to apply almost every single word of it to myself. So when he was talking to Peter, I would apply it to myself. If he was talking to other people, you know, I would try and put myself so much into the story and what Jesus wants for us and has for us. So that helped me a lot to think that way.
Yeah, so moving on to the next. So the Pharisees were just seeking a sign from Jesus, and he just was disgusted with them, it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to the next section, starting verse 13, there's another issue that comes up.
And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, you do not see, and having ears, you do not hear. And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many baskets? They said 7. So I'm going to stop and go right back there to what Jesus, he's saying, is your heart still hardened? Mm-hmm. So they saw these things. They've been walking and talking with Jesus. Peter's walked on water with Jesus. And yet Jesus is, like, you know, even frustrated with his disciples that, you know, your heart is hard, that you're not, you know, you're kind of getting it. We're not, you know, they're not getting it.
Yeah, they got the firsthand experience and firsthand account seeing everything that Jesus is doing, and they're still doubting about the fish and the loaves and feeding the 4,000, feeding the 5,000.
Yeah.
They're still like, and Jesus knows this, and he's like, why is your heart still hardened? And sometimes in our walk, our heart does get harder. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we
have terrible tragedies happen. We're just down, like we were talking about earlier. My dad passed away a couple of years ago, and it has been really, really hard on me. Tim's dad passed away right after that.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his mom years ago. So, you know, things can happen that kind of feel like you get a chest kick in life, and it's okay. You know, sometimes people get mad at God. Guess what? It's still okay.
God still loves you.
Yeah.
God still loves you. He loves me. He loves everybody. And we've made it through.
Yeah.
So we can continue on. But yeah, it's, everybody's heart gets hardened at some point or another. But you got to realize that God still loves you. He doesn't move. He's the rock and foundation. Yeah. We're the one that moves away from him. He doesn't move from us.
Right.
And that we need to come back to him. Say, okay, Lord, I need to get back in line with you and get back in in the word of God and continue my relationship with Jesus. And that's how you are with friends and loved ones, is you want to continue that relationship.
So he says to him, how is it you don't understand? You can tell he's so frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
He comes to Bethsaida. They bring a blind man to him. He begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. And when he had spit in his eye, rubbed his hand, put it on it, he asked him if he saw anything. The guy looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. He put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. Mm-hmm. So this right here, I got to talk. Oops, sorry. I got to talk about that too. So everybody right here is living proof. Jesus, it didn't happen immediately every time. Right here's the time where he's, you know, hey, what do you see? Well, everybody looks like trees. Okay, well, that's not good enough.
That's Jesus like did it blurred, again. Yeah, blurred vision.
So whenever you get discouraged in your own walk, when you pray for somebody and something doesn't happen, guess what? Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Try again.
Jesus tried
again right here. That's one reason I love Mark. It really gets down to the meat and bones of what Jesus did, what we did, and it shows you right here, you know, call it perfect, call it imperfect, but the guy couldn't see great. Jesus touched him again.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? It's a very interesting story. It deserves more study and thought if you think about it. Because most of the time, Jesus was just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, snap his fingers and like, hey, man, you're healed.
But was it the such a doubt in the town? Because he took him out of the town. He took the guy out of the town.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have just been that there was such an enormous oppressive spirit of doubt or unbelief in that town. Jesus took him away. You know, we don't know exactly why.
And then what does Jesus tell him to do in the red right there at the end?
Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town.
Yeah. And let's read the next section.
Now,
I was going to say this heading is Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. Go ahead.
Now, Jesus and his disciples went out to the town. And on the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say I am? They answered, John the Baptist. Some said Elijah, and others said the prophet, one of the other prophets. And he said, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. Now, keep in mind, demons had already identified Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They had already been saying, you're the Lord of the Most High God. Why you come to torment us? Why you come to do this? So they already knew Jesus had arrived. But people were just starting to catch on. So realize there is a spiritual world going on around you always. And this right here is a perfect example of it.
Mm-hmm. And read that last sentence. Verse 30.
And he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him.
Right. So he just said that.
Yep.
And verse 26, he said he sent him away in the house saying either go in the town or not tell anyone in the town. Then four verses later, he's saying it again.
Right.
Don't tell anyone about him, because Jesus knows that the folks are going to be looking for him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees are going to be looking for him to persecute him. And he says, don't tell anybody because you give away my location. It's like, I got to stay concealed so they can't find me.
Yeah. So Jesus had been rejected by people. You know, we're in 31 now. He spoke words openly. It says Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.
That's a pretty bold statement, right?
This is one of my favorite places in the Bible too. But there's it's written, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all similar. And you'll have to help me which one it is where he actually, it's the same saying. It's just not, it's just different right here. But he tells Peter, you know, rightly so, I am the Christ. I give you the keys to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He turns right around in, within four verses and calls Peter Satan and tells him to get behind me because he's interfering with the plan. So yeah,
God's plan.
It shows you where we make mistakes. We're human. We make mistakes. And I feel like, you know, Peter walked on water with him. Peter's standing here and doing these different things with him. And it's actually, Jesus has given him the keys to the kingdom. He said, you know, when you go and grow, help other people find me. And Peter turns right around and he's like, no, not so, Lord. I don't, you know, pretty much I don't want this to happen. And Jesus has to say, get behind me, Satan, because that's not the plan.
Right. And Peter was really selfish in saying this.
And we would because, all want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Because he's thinking of the plan that the men have versus God's plan. He's not thinking that way. That's why Jesus was rebuking him and saying, get behind me, Satan.
So then Jesus just goes on to say, whoever desires to come to me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
That's pretty...
That finishes Mark 8.
Yeah, that's pretty good information right there. Because if you look at today's world, he says about the adulterous and sinful generation. That's exactly how it is today.
Yeah.
Adultery's going on and on. And
everything looks like they call everything okay. It says that, you know, good will be called bad and bad will be called good in the end times. And you can turn on the TV and just things are just horrific. And it can say it's PG or whatever. And, you know, we're still really surprised sometimes the things that are, you know, for everybody's eyes to see in our generation as time goes on. And we just want to see you in heaven. That is the bottom line. We want to see as many people saved and in heaven. We love you. You may not get that or even believe it, but we truly love you. We thank God for you. We ask that the Lord bless you and keep you, and we thank you so much for listening.
Yes, Lord.
You are a good God, and just know that in our toughest, darkest times, God is there to hold your hand, to hold you in his arms, to hold you to his bosom, and just love on you if you just let him love on you.
Yeah,
we love
and
you.
And I was going to say, you find that through the Word of God. Yeah. And we want to also say, if you're not in a Bible-based church, find one. Find one that fits you. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Find a Bible-based church. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Get baptized.
And get baptized.
Woo-hoo.
We love you. We thank you for joining Carl from the Rock Ministries this evening.
Yeah.
And we will see you next time. Let's give God a hand clap of praise, and we'll see you next time
see
on Carl from the Rock Ministries.
Thank you, Jeff.